Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A Thursday night, a thirsty Thursday here. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you for the full four tonight till 11 o'clock. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. Catch us live replays of all the shows there. Download your radio.com app. That way you catch us on the go and have the cool new feature about listening back to anything in real time over the last 24 hours on the station. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow all the different platforms of the station and interact with us there. The best way, as always, to interact with this particular show is through my personal Twitter handle. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Busy show tonight. Lots to get into as we get ready in a couple of days for Atlanta United to get back into action as they will take on Nashville, Nashville SC. Now, that is to be a proper with all of that. Coming up tonight at 8:20, I know if you've been listening to the station all day, you've been hearing some of the different supporter groups for Atlanta United. The Resurgence at Resurgence ATL, they will be joining us coming up at 8:20 tonight as I'm sure they are getting ready to head up to Nashville. Fun little road trip. Nashville, a very fun town. It's a pretty cool town. I've been to Nashville a couple of times and have to say I very much enjoyed myself both times there. And I still feel like I haven't even come close to scratching the surface of seeing all the things in Nashville. So pretty cool little road trip to get really kind of into the MLS start of the season for Atlanta United. So they will be in studio to join us at 8:20. Sarah Spencer, of course, she is the Atlanta Hawks beat writer and for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and we will talk to her a little bit later on in the show as well tonight. So lots of stuff to get into. But, you know, listen, I'm so glad that obviously the Braves and AA and everybody listen to this show and take my advice. You know, we talked the other night, and it was late night. You know, we were on after the Atlanta United match, and I talked about the fact that, if you go to 929thegame.com too, that was our moment from the other night, about the fact that the Atlanta Braves need to treat Freddie Freeman the way that the Falcons treat Julio Jones when it comes to preseason and all that kind of stuff, okay? And obviously tying it into spring training for the Atlanta Braves. And what I mean by that is that while Freddie Freeman, as I said, is not the best player that's on the Atlanta Braves, I think he's the most important player that's on the Atlanta Braves. And the same way for the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan's not the best player on the Atlanta Falcons. That's Julio Jones, but he's the most important player. I think with the Braves, Ronald Acuña Jr. is the best player on the Atlanta Braves, but Freddie's the most important player that's out there. And if Freddie Freeman, who's a gamer, and we know he's going to push hard, and we know now about, you know, that injury and what was going on with the playoffs and different things like that. And while obviously a few weeks ago, everybody was like, hey, everything's great with the elbow, and I've never felt better, and this, that, and the other, you know, in three games in, Freddie needs to be scratched from it. And I understand we can call it precautionary and all those different types of things, whatever like that. But I thought it was interesting because if you follow Mark Bowman on Twitter, he had put out that Freddie Freeman, who said, let's hear from Freddie Freeman first, because he's actually going to, he actually talked a little bit about addressing the injury. Here's what Freddie Freeman had to say about it.
I mean, it swelled pretty good, but I knew right away. I could still straighten my arm. I could still flex it. No problems. The swelling went down drastically even that day. So just a little treatment. I feel good. It's going to take it day by day, but probably next week I should be in the lineup.
Yeah, now the report was that Mark Bowman put out there was that Freddie wanted to play, I want to say it was today, because he tweeted this out yesterday, I believe, that Freddie wanted to play even today, that things were on track. Here is Alex Anthopoulos. He had a chance to talk to Mark Bowman about the injury, and this is exactly what I wanted to kind of hear about it.
We consulted with Dr. Olczyk today, not concerned at all. Dr. Olczyk's the one that did the surgery, and I'm just going to give him a little rest and should get him back in the lineup sometime next week. You know, if you ask Freddie today, he thought he was going to play tomorrow. So we said, look, let's talk to Dr. Olczyk and just make sure. And the fact that we're sitting here in February, we don't need to rush this thing at all. So
exactly. Thank you. Obviously, a big listener. I appreciate AA listening to the show because this is exactly how I talked about it. While I understand it may not be a big deal, any setback is a setback that you wait. And while Freddie Freeman, and I said this the other night, the guy you have to protect Freddie Freeman from is Freddie Freeman. And if Freddie Freeman thinks he can come back in a day, you sit him a week. He thinks he can come back in a few days, sit him 2 weeks. One is Freddie Freeman's a professional hitter. And he just came in as the number 15 player in all of Major League Baseball on MLB's top 100 players. Okay? So Freddie's not some ham and egger, and the idea of him being underrated, that's in the past. Freddie's a legitimate star in this league now. And I don't need Freddie Freeman to take any meaningful swings in spring training. Yeah, but how's he going to get ready? Because he's Freddie Freeman. That's why. Because he's a 35-homer, 300-hitting, 100-run, 100-RBI guy. That's how I know. How do I know? Because he's arguably the best first baseman in the history of the Atlanta Braves. Okay? That's how I know. His pedigree and his track record tell me. But we know he's a gamer. And I don't care if Freddie Freeman doesn't get meaningful swings until we get into April. It doesn't matter. Because as I explained the other night, despite what y'all want to believe or think, Cole Hamels is not winning this team a World Series. It won't be because of Cole Hamels, but it will be because of Freddie Freeman. If the Atlanta Braves are the World Series champions, obviously Freddie Freeman is going to have a massive El Mucho Grande size hand in them winning the World Series. And I'm not saying Freddie Freeman is going to be out weeks or whatever like that. I'm just saying that if you think it's a day, wait a week. You think it's a couple of days, wait a couple of weeks. There is zero reason to worry about Freddie Freeman taking anything meaningful in spring training or spending any meaningful time worrying about getting ready. Freddie Freeman is the definition, the very definition of what a professional hitter is. You look up that term in a baseball dictionary, there will be a picture of Freddie Freeman right there. And by the way, even without Freddie Freeman, with all due respect, it's not like the Atlanta Braves aren't a talented group. There's still a lot of guys there that you're asking to contribute and are going to be a part of that, both from your pitching staff and from your offense. Now, obviously, I'm not saying the Braves are nearly as good without Freddie Freeman, but you can survive early Major League Baseball season without a, you know, 1,000% ready to roll Freddie Freeman at the very start. So I was glad to hear, you know, when I heard that clip, especially after hearing that, hey, Freddie wanted to play and he was ready to get back in, that they shut him down a little bit longer. And you know what? If they need to do it longer, so be it. So be it. Again, much like the way that the Falcons treat Julio Jones, who doesn't take a single solitary snap in the preseason. And people say, well, rhythm and timing and all that. Really? He's been in the league for a decade. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. And he comes right out and he does his thing. Same thing with Freddie Freeman. The last guy on this roster that I'm worried about being ready and being a gamer and being a pro is Freddie Freeman. And I don't care if he misses some time. Because, again, the Braves are still the best team in their division. There's a reason why they're still the number two favorites in the NL and the pick to win the division. They're still the best team in their division. And I don't care who they start off with. They can start off with the 27 Yankees. I don't really care. I'm more worried about making sure that Freddie is as healthy and ready to go for the long term as is possible. And I know Freddie wants to get out there. I get it. I understand. And he wanted to get out there, you know, in the playoff series against the Cardinals. And then we kind of heard, you know, it went from, well, you know, I think I'll be able to play, it's no big deal, to where it was, yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't have been able to play in the next round of the playoffs if we advanced. And you're like, oh, wow. Okay. Maybe it was a little bit more serious. Now, I'm not excited about the fact that Freddie Freeman, you know, is having, you know, issues and irritation with that surgically repaired elbow, especially after we were told, oh, he's never been healthy. Oh, he's great. Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, it feels terrific. And then literally three games into exhibition season, we're hearing, yeah, it's swollen up and it's causing irritation and stuff like that. Okay. Okay. I mean, things like that happen, but you just have to protect the player from himself. And it sounds like Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves, like I said, I appreciate them being such loyal listeners. I appreciate them tuning in. They obviously listened to my moment from the other night and, you know, got lockstep into right what I had to say with it. So Braves will continue to roll along. I know Felix Hernandez got another start coming up. I think tomorrow Mike Soroka makes his debut, right? Wasn't he going to pitch on Friday? So I think what's that? Hernandez today? Yeah, Felix today. And I think Soroka makes his debut tomorrow. All right, we obviously know that pass rush is like 150,000% of the biggest need for the Atlanta Falcons. What's the second biggest need for this team? We'll try to figure all of that out next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, hanging out with you on a Thursday. Sports Radio, Nights on the Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back in the Kia Studios with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out on a Thursday night. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact. I'll be quite honest with you. I can't get the text line to pop up for me. Between the email issues that we're having around here, text line can't pop up. Oh, and we get new parking area. So as if the walk of shame wasn't bad enough, now we've extended it a little bit further. That may be a What's Bugging Chuckery coming up pretty quick when I figure out all this going on. So obviously with the Atlanta Falcons, and we're watching the combine and seeing all the stuff going on here with these guys. And, you know, obviously a big deal. I'm a fan of the combine. I take it for what it is. You know, what's the old saying? Film don't lie. Guys that are, you know, in this and watching Jake Fromm throw right now, guys that are in this, you know, to me, it's not make or break about what the combine does itself. But, you know, obviously a chance to showcase these guys and try to figure out who teams want to draft. And the Falcons are there in a hot and heavy presence and certainly have spoken there. We played some clips of the night from Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn and everybody. So now, obviously, we have also talked about with the Atlanta Falcons that pass rush is so far and away the greatest and biggest and most important need that this team has that I don't know that anything, you know, is even, you know, a million miles away in the stratosphere of need for this team like what pass rush is. You have to, in this league, sack the quarterback and get the quarterback on the ground. And when you do, really good things happen, and you saw that with the Falcons this year. When they could consistently sack the quarterback, they could win football games. Now, obviously, it would be a lot nicer to, do that while you're still in the playoff hunt and those sorts of things. So doing it when you're out of the playoffs, you know, you're 1-7, on the season and sacking the quarterback, doesn't carry kind of the same weight as it does, you know, when you're in the thick of things. But that aside, the question becomes, okay, after pass rush, then what? Then what's the biggest need, you know, that's out there? Now, I will tell you that I think one guy greatly affects what that second biggest need is for this team. And that guy, believe it or not, in my mind, is Devontae Freeman. Why do I say that? Because if the Falcons do decide, and it's very possible that the Falcons do decide to move on from Devontae Freeman, while I know they like Brian Hill, obviously they drafted Kadri Allison last year. Who's the other kid? The kid out of Southern Miss. Why did my name go? Why did my brain just went blank on the other running back for the Falcons? Ito Smith, okay? I know they like those guys, but let's face it, okay? None of those guys have proven that they are ready to be number one running backs in the NFL. Now, I understand, too, that Devontae Freeman didn't have the year that a lot of us were really kind of hoping for and kind of having that bounce back year more like, you know, in the glory years where, you know, Devontae was one of the better running backs in the NFL. He's one of the more productive running backs in the NFL, okay? If Devontae Freeman is let go, I think at that point running back becomes the number two position because I think wide receiver, they're okay. I think even if Hooper is not brought back at tight end, you can do enough to bridge the gap at tight end. I think even defensive line, at least you have Grady Jarrett. At least you have one guy that you know is rock solid. And ideally, if you have a pass rush that goes with him, then that defensive line becomes better anyway. So kind of hand in hand. I think linebacker, you know, they'll get by with or without Campbell. You still have Deion Jones. Secondary, you might be able to make a case that safety falls into that, especially depending on what they do with Keanu Neal, how healthy will Ricardo Allen be. There are certainly questions there. I just think that running back becomes that number two need, and especially depending on what happens with Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman goes, you can tell me running back by committee, but I don't know how much I trust those three guys that they have right now in the fold to be able to, you know, shoulder the load. And if we're talking about this team, and we're talking about this team legitimately trying to get back to the Super Bowl, you know, because, you know, unlike Arthur, I'm not going to settle for, you know, well, they're 9-7, they made a wild card, and that was a successful season. That just doesn't work. You know, I'm not in that mindset. Because of where Matt and Julio and everybody else is, at this stage, this is people's prime. It's time to capitalize on that. 9-7, and we make a wild card. I'm not going to raise my hands and clap and call this a success. And I promise you there's plenty of people who will. And maybe that will be enough to keep Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff in place to allow them to, you know, come back for another year, and then we'll hear, okay, well, we got to take the next step. But anyway, if this team is really legitimately going to get back into the idea of being in the business of the Super Bowl, they're going to have to be a much better running team than what they were. Now, sure, part of that is the offensive line. Well, ideally, McGarry and Lindstrom stay healthy. You get those guys all year long, okay? Jake Matthews is fine. You know, Alex Mack, another year, a little bit more tread off that tire, wearing it down a little bit, and then they have to answer the question of left guard. But I think they can figure that out because you're talking about they've got four guys that they know that are their starters, okay? So we know for sure four guys are locked in, unless they cut Alex Mack. But as of now, four guys are locked in, and we know what those starters are, okay? The fifth spot, they have to figure it out, and that wasn't great. But I think a lot of it is if you get McGarry and Lindstrom to play much better and stay healthy, really, more than anything. most importantly would be for them to stay healthy. If they can do that, okay, if they can do that, then they can still be a pretty darn good offensive line, even having to try to figure out what left guard is going to be. So that running back spot. Now, I think if Devontae Freeman comes back, I don't think they're great at running back. I'm not going to sit here and try to spin the idea of, oh, it's all set. But I would feel a lot better going into the season with having a Devontae Freeman as my lead back than I would Brian Hill, Ito Smith, Kadri Allison. And maybe if given the chance, one of those guys blows up and balls out and, you know, becomes the next big thing. Okay? I just haven't seen enough to get me excited about those guys for me to believe that, okay, we don't need Freeman. You know, Ito's the guy, you know, or Brian Hill's the guy. You know, and obviously we got very little out of, you know, got to see very little out of Kadri Allison this past year, other than, you know, some vulture touchdowns and things. Couldn't dress pretty much the first half of the season. Wasn't dressing in playing or anything like that. So, you know, I don't feel good about those guys as a group, those guys, you know, with somebody being the lead, any one of the three being the lead out there. Now, I think, like I said, safety is another position that is going to be very interesting. The only main reason why Keanu Neal may stay is because the guy who drafted him plays that kind of system where, you know, they like having a guy like Keanu Neal out there. I think if Dan Quinn had been let go and somebody else had come in as the new head coach, I think injury or no injury, I think, you know, Keanu Neal was on the chopping block potentially anyway. Because most coaches won't value him even at $7 million, you know, as the type of safety that he is and the system that you know, again, that fits Dan's system, but that's a lot different than some of the other things that are out there. And I think, you know, cornerback, listen, Trufant had a nice year last year. Hopefully Isaiah Oliver, you know he's going to be a starter. They do have Sheffield as well. You certainly have KZ, you know, in the fold. There are guys that are options there. I just think when I start to look at that running back position and I think about life after Devontae Freeman, and while I understand, wasn't the best season, wasn't Devontae's top year or anything like that, I look at that group and I say, wow, I don't know if there's enough there. Especially if we're trying to talk about taking that next step. And what I mean by getting back into the business of trying to get to the Super Bowl, getting back into that business instead of just saying, well, you know, we want to be in the mix, you know, for a playoff spot. I fully anticipate us being in the playoff spot. Well, you know, finishing second in the division and making a wild card doesn't overly excite me, you know. Now, if they make a run of the Super Bowl, okay, then it all worked itself out there. But to do that, they're going to have to run the football much more effectively, be able to pick up short yardage situations out there, have a little bit more balance to help Matt out. Yes, there's still a pass-first offense. And by the way, when we get into our Falcon flyover a little bit later tonight, interesting thought from the ESPN staff, because they talk about what daring moves – daring, D-A-R-I-N-G, what daring moves should each of the franchises, you know, do? The one for the Falcons is kind of interesting because it ties into something I've been saying for a long time here about what this is. Despite having Dan Quinn and what they want to be and what they think they can be and this, that, and the other, you know. Now, obviously, if Devondre Campbell walks, they're going to have to find, you know, a linebacker to go with them. Same thing with Hooper, you know, if he walks. The only thing about tight end is that this organization has done a good job finding a tight end, but I think they have enough other skill position players that even if they don't have a guy who's maybe progressing the way that Austin Hooper does, that they can find somebody that can fill that role and fill that need on here. And the same thing with linebacker. I think they can find that. I just look and say that, you know, at least with linebacker, you know you have one guy who's a legitimate starter. You know Deion Jones is a guy who roams that middle and can be, you know, force. And they've mixed some other guys here or there that have helped them out. Would I like to have Campbell back? Yes. I think, truthfully, if I had my preference and you told me I could only have either Hooper or Campbell, I'd probably want Campbell back. Because I don't think that losing quality defensive pieces off a team that is not great to start with. And I think Campbell's one of the answers. I don't think he's one of the problems. I think he's one of the answers for this defense because he does a lot of different things for this defense, and especially for what Dan likes in a defense. I think he's more of an answer. I think that this organization has shown they can find some guys to come in here and be, like I said, go look at the Jacob Tammy signing. Jacob Tammy was very productive, you know, in the first part of that Super Bowl year until he got hurt. But he did a lot of good things for this team and with Matt Ryan. That was a pretty quality signing and a guy I was in favor of. So watch the running back position. It will be very interesting because some people have even speculated, by the way, about DeAndre Swift maybe should be the pick at 16. I'm not buying into that one, though. All right, if we talk about the Hawks being a playoff team next year, we might be talking about trying to win almost as many as 20 more games than they will this season. Is that possible for the Hawks? Talk about that next. Chuck Renekia Studios, Sports Radio, 920 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back in the Kia studio on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you until 11 o'clock tonight, 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And I'll be honest with you, like I said, I can't get the text line to work. I can't get my email to work here. I can't get the text line to work here. They're moving us for parking. They trying to tell me something? Is there kind of a... Maybe we'll learn something at the meeting on Tuesday. We have another staff meeting on Tuesday. I mean, it's going to be like some kind of secret surprise or something like that they're going to reveal to us. But anyway, so hanging out here till 11 o'clock. Coming up at 8:20, we will have the Resurgence ATL. They are Atlanta United supporter group, as you've heard the different groups on all day long on the station. So coming up at 8:20, we will talk with them as Atlanta United gets ready to head up to Nashville. Should be a pretty good Atlanta United crowd up there. Don't be surprised if you see a big contingent of Atlanta United fans because easy trip to make up there and very affordable tickets, by the way. I think tickets were as low as even like $12 to get up there. So lots of good stuff going on there. We'll talk to them at 8:20. Coming up tomorrow night, Atlanta Hawks are back in action as they will take on the Brooklyn Nets. Pregame at 7 o'clock, 7:30 on the tip. Steve Holman with the call for all of that. Now, obviously, this year for the Atlanta Hawks hasn't quite gone the way that they had hoped as far as competing at least maybe, or at least being, excuse me, in the mix for a playoff spot this year, which, you know, no real big deal. That was a lofty goal and something I think a lot of us, you know, wanted to see. But to me, that doesn't make this season a failure or success. Now, next year, though, there has to be some kind of turn and tick upward. Because right now, the Atlanta Hawks sit at 17-43. They have the worst record in the Eastern Conference right now. Now, the reason they have the worst record, even though they have the same number of wins as the Cavaliers and New York Knicks, is that they've lost two additional games. So while the Knicks and Cavaliers have a .293, a 29.3% winning percentage, the Hawks are at 28.3%. winning percentage out there. Now, if you look back over the last several years, okay, and we all kind of make fun of the Eastern Conference and how it's not been very good and certainly not a very deep, you know, conference and such. But if you look over the last handful, several years, okay, even in the Eastern Conference, if you want to be the number 8 seed in the NBA playoffs, you've got to be around 500, okay? If you look at last year, the Pistons were 41-41. Go back to the 17-18 season. The Wizards were 43-39. The year before that, 2016-2017, the Bulls were a 41-win team, so they were 500. Go back to 15-16, 44-38 for the Pistons. Go back to 14-15. Okay? That's the first time that you get into a team with a losing record, okay, where the Nets were 38-44. And we're the number 8 seed. But over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, over the past 4 seasons, you've had to be around 41-44 wins to get that number 8 seed. Now, this year, the Orlando Magic, they have only 26 wins, but they're 26-32 on the year. So, could they finish 500? Yes. I mean, the next team right above them, the Nets, Brooklyn Nets, they're 26-31. So, both of those teams could be a 500 team when all is said and done. Not an impossible feat. Wizards would be a little bit more tough. They're 21-36. They got a lot of work that they'd have to get to try to get to 500. So if you just go off the premise of you've got to be about 500, okay, maybe you can be 40 wins and get there. But right now with where the Atlanta Hawks are trending, okay, they're trending somewhere in that 21-24 type of win range right now. You know, the actual math says about 23 is what the actual math says. But, you know, give or take a win or two here or there on the schedule. So is it realistic to think that, okay, let's say we get Clint Capella for a full season next year. Let's say John Collins doesn't have any kind of big setbacks, okay? Whether it's performance enhancing, whether it's injury, because it's not just been this year that John Collins has missed time. Remember, he missed time 2 years ago as well. You know, he missed 20-some-odd games a couple of years ago because of the injury factor, okay? So it's been something with John Collins over the last couple of seasons. So let's say if you add him to all of this, okay, add him into the mix of he plays, let's say, 75 games next year, and then you add a free agent. Now, they're not adding LeBron James, okay? Giannis isn't coming here, all right? You know, Bradley Beal's interesting. They got the money to pay him. Now, but he's got one more year, right? You'd have to trade for Bradley Beal. He's got one more year on his deal. So, because that was my thing about trading for him this year, because you'd have a couple of years of control. But I think he's got one more year, okay? Say you get a mid-level free agent, because that's kind of where the class is. Can the Atlanta Hawks realistically win almost 20 more games year over year? That's a pretty stout number when you think about it, okay? Now, you bring LeBron James in here, yeah, I think they could win 20 more games. But is the 25 games of John Collins, Clint Capella, and one more free agent enough to win you 20-some-odd more games? Because that's the reality of the situation is that's kind of where, I mean, let's put it this way. In a very good scenario, you got to win maybe 16, 17 more games. Okay? Now, that may not sound like a lot. That's a lot in an 82-game schedule. That to be a playoff team compared to where you're at right now, by the way, with Collins and with Trey and Herter and all that, okay? That may be a tall task. And now we start to get into, okay, if they can't do that, then where are we as an organization? I'm not telling you it's impossible to do something like that, but that's a pretty ballsy step upward in the win category for a team that's sitting at 17 wins through 60 games right now. 17-43, they're 60 games in. So they only got 22 games that are left. Got 22 games that are left. So not a whole lot of the season. You know, we're kind of on this final third, you know, a little bit less of this regular season, you know, out there. And I don't know exactly what the Hawks are playing for. I mean, people want them to continue to lose and have the worst record because obviously you want the highest draft pick, or at least put it this way. You certainly at least want the most ping pong balls to be in your favor. May the odds ever be in your favor if we were playing the Hunger Games Index. I'm not telling you it's impossible next year to think about a team winning 16, 17 more games. But like I said, that's a pretty stout number to have to pull. And even if we're just talking about getting to 500, let's say if they finish at 23 wins, where they're projected right now, if the schedule plays out exactly as where they are right now and they're a 23-win team. Now, that's 18 more wins that they have to find. That's almost doubling their win total from the previous year. And when you start to look at, we talked about the free agent class that's out there in the NBA, it's a lot of, for this upcoming year, meh. It's not what it was this year. It's not what it's going to be the year after. It's a lot of meh when the Hawks have a lot of money. So we'll see. Now, Ken had put in my ear about, you know, could you get Bradley Beal? That could be a game changer. You give me a guy who can give you 25 a night in the way Bradley Beal is, that might be a little bit more realistic. All right, the Astros are already leading the league in a particular stat, and it's probably not going to be that surprising when I give it to you. Talk about that next. Chuck Rennie, Key Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.